1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. If you'd like to jump on the line and get a roofing question asked, maybe you've got several proposals from roofing contractors and you'd like to talk to somebody that writes multiple proposals, they can help you kind of identify what to look for and help give you keys to narrow down which of them might be right for you. Because how often do you guys run into a situation where your proposal is exactly the same as someone else?
Very rarely.
Very
rarely, if not never.
So. Not never.
Let's bring Brian into the conversation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good. I got a trailer in South Phoenix, and we've been putting elastomeric coating on it. What do you guys think of that?
Depending on the substrate that's on there, a lot of the trailers / mobile homes have a metal roof system instead of a plywood sheeting as a base substrate. A lot of those will have a lot of deflection, which will increase the probability of the seams or the coating itself cracking and peeling loose. There's different restoration systems. You can do an elastomeric with a fiber mesh base in it, which will prolong the life and better ensure that it's going to have a good holding product there.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate the call. And again, if you'd like to join, it's 1-888-767-4348 or text your questions to 411-923. And I know we're going to get to flat roofs, but before we get there, assuming we get some rain and some storm.
It's coming. It's coming. Keep the faith.
Even if it's not till 2017 season. When it's over and there's no leak or you don't see any water, okay, fine. Doesn't mean that there wasn't a problem that's just sitting there waiting for the next time it comes. One of the most popular questions we get on our roofing category is, how do I know if it's been damaged after a storm? I mean, just to assume you don't see water right now doesn't mean there may not be a problem that's started or starting or just hasn't let enough water in to get to the top of your drywall. Because that takes a lot of water by the time it's soaks the plywood, comes through the insulation, comes through the drywall. I don't know how much water that is, but I know it's a lot.
For most homeowners, the easiest way is just to take a real high-powered flashlight and go around and look at every portion very carefully of your ceiling and make sure there's not a little yellow or brown spot. And if there is one, that's probably a leak. And it's just, small right now. A better way to do it is to, if you have the knowledge to crawl around in an attic and not break through and fall through the drywall, is to go ahead and get in the attic, and you can actually see stains coming down the plywood. They're kind of a dark brown stain. And so look around protrusions and in valleys and see if you see any dark stains.
And a valley for someone that may be a first-time homeowner and never heard that term before.
It's where two roof pieces come together. So in other words, it looks like kind of the canal down the middle. So if you have a gable coming out in the front of your house and it's coming into the side of your house, it's the trough that all the water comes down through.
A lot of times you'll see it if the garage faces the street and then the house turns sideways. There's usually one right over your garage.
Exactly. Another way, if you have the insulation the blown-in insulation, you can look at the insulation while you're in the attic with your flashlight again, and you'll see kind of almost a cone-shaped spot where the water's gone and been dripping down through it.
So. And moving around that insulation, you don't want to mess that up. That's your blanket of protection. So
yeah, you have to kind of know what you're doing up there. You don't want to get in any trouble and cause some more damage than you fix.
All right. Can we go to flat roofs,
yes,
or do you want to address more of these?
You can go to flat roofs. We'll come back to some more of our FAQs
right.
in a moment.
So we've talked our way through the slope roof products, the three-tab shingles, and how they've evolved over the years. And then we've talked about the concrete tile. Let's go to flat roofs. In spite of what I've been telling people for the last 28 years, don't build flat roofs. They're still building flat roofs. And ironically, I live in a flat roof. But what is your product of choice for a flat roof?
I prefer the foam, polyurethane foam roof system. That's okay. What I do have on my house as well.
Okay.
I believe it's a closed cell product, and it allows you to work around penetrations or walls, and plus it gives you the R value for insulating factors as well.
And it sticks to everything, so you can spray it straight to the plastic PVC pipe and straight to the roof deck, and it's a seamless bond. And if you've ever seen a roofer foam applicator, you know it sticks to clothes, you know it sticks to skin, you know it sticks to sunglasses,
windshields, car paint.
It's got a very good bond.
It has an amazing bond.
Tell me the backside parapet preparation you like to see on a framed house flat roof. We're gonna do a foam roof. What's the backside of your parapet look like
on a new construction?
Yeah, let's talk.
We do want to have a half inch OSB or plywood backing board there, obviously, so we could spray apply to that. But when we do get into tricky areas, we'll spray a primer down as well before we do spray the polyurethane foam.
So you're spraying the OSB board on the back, and then you're letting the stucco guy come over the top of that with a weep screed down 6 to 9 inches below the top of the parapet, weeps out on top of your foam roof.
Yeah, we bring the polyurethane up about 12 inches standard and ask them to bring their stucco, their lath paper down a minimum of 4 to 5 inches past.
And then we put the weep screed there, and we're all set. Because that's going to be the point most moisture enters the house, is the top of that cracked parapet.
Yes.
Okay, now, here's the one roofing application I've seen done wrong more times than not. The house was built in the 70s, and it's a flat territorial-style house. And it was a 3-ply built-up 90-pound. And now we're going to go with a foam.
We prefer to tear that off before we start. Some people will go over that existing gravel hot tar built up roof. We like to tear it off so we adhere right directly to the plywood, and we can actually inspect the plywood at that point. And if there's any bad plywood, then we can replace it. Whereas if you go over it, you don't know exactly what you're going over it. But the advantage of foam, I think, is it's a self flashing product. It's a monolithic system. It's all one big roof, and flashing, let's face it, is always the points of failure or any kind of protrusion or penetration on any roof, and it's a self-flashing product, so we really appreciate that. It'll flash to anything, to brick or block or frame or a metal, so it's a good product.
And I tell people, they want to know, did I get a good roofing job? You know, the foam roofing job is only as good as the guy on the gun, right?
Yes.
I mean, that surface can look like scrambled eggs, or it can look like a basketball surface, one or the other, right?
That's exactly true. You know, when we see the blisters and bubbles on a flat roof, generally speaking, that means moisture's got under there somehow, whether they sprayed it when it was still wet or damp, or whether, you know, somehow it got a pinhole or a prick in it from a bird or a bee drilling a hole through it, and then water gets down in there, and then it causes the moisture causes a blister from the heat. So the heat will cause a blister or a bubble, and that's when you see the big bubbles and blisters. So
even the guy's sweat.
Even the
guy's sweat.
Yeah, you can actually hear it hit. It's kind of like hot tar. When you hear it hit, it just, you know, you can hear it hit the hot tar and it boils. So.
And then the second part of that is from the applicator, then it goes back to the gun, because it's two different chemicals that are mixed at this point of spray. So if your machine's not and your equipment's not operating properly, you know, you could have the best applicator in the world with the steadiest hand to get the perfect smooth coating. But if what he's shooting out the gun isn't properly mixing, you're kind of wasting a lot of time there too, and money.
Yeah, that's one of the things we key on, is making sure our applicator is going through constant training and that our equipment is maintained and kept running properly. If they don't have the right mixture coming into the gun, you are going to have issues.
Now, how about maintenance? That was an issue when foam came into the industry back in the 70s. Young builders, right?
Exactly.
Right. The question of maintenance was always an issue. If I've got air conditioning equipment, I can remember at one point we were putting silica granules into the foam, but elastomeric top coating to stand up to a little bit better foot traffic and stuff. But what y'all's experience with that? If I've got roof-mounted air conditioners and I've got air conditioning guys up there two or three times a year servicing the equipment on top of foam roofs, that held people back from going to foam for a long time.
It still does, probably. The air conditioning men don't quite know what to do with foam. They can take out a bucket of hot asphalt and seal around a shingle roof or a flat hot tar built-up roof. But with a foam roof, you probably would be wise to get a professional roofer out there and inspect it after an air conditioner has been installed on your roof, on a new roof. Usually we mount them on a 4x4, and there's several different ways you can do curb mount on an air conditioner, but it's probably a wise thing to get a professional opinion after an air conditioner man's been there on your foam roof.
Well, I was in the trades when they brought foam in, and I was skeptical at first and kind of held off, and then one of the foam contractors that actually did commercial work, he said, I'm going to take you to a job, and I'm going to convince you how durable it was. And it was Scottsdale Memorial Hospital on Osborne, and they had foamed the entire thing, and there was equipment everywhere. There was more traffic up there than you can imagine. That's really what sold me. I thought, okay, if the hospital can foam it and stand up to all this traffic, then it could probably stand up pretty well to my house. And that has to be, that has to be about 1981 or 1982, if I can remember right.
Yeah, in the beginning, foam had a bad reputation, mainly due to the lack of the proper labor installation. They weren't installing it properly.
Other than foam, what are we putting on flat roofs?
We are an applicator of the hot tar, hot built-up roofs, 3, 4, 5-ply roof systems that are applied with the hot asphalt. And we also install a lot of self-adhesive products. That is one of our main products on re-roof. Due to the fact that there's no flame involved with it, in smaller areas, we applied a self-adhesive cap sheet over a rubber base.
And you're getting what kind of life expectancy out of that?
That is a 20 to 30-year product.
It is. Now, see, yeah. The foam is going to have to be get up there and visually checked. When y'all do a foam roof, do y'all build in an inspection every 24 months or 36 months?
We recommend every year.
Every year.
18 months to have somebody come out, have us come out and take a look at the roof, and we'll come out and do an inspection on that roof.
And if there aren't any problems with the roof, how long can I expect that elastomeric to last in between coatings?
Depending on the system that was originally installed, we do a 5-year system and we do a 10-year system. So if you do a 5-year, which is 2.5 gallons per 100 square feet, that is a 5-year system. So have it inspected every year, but kind of budget to have that recoated in about 5 years.
And what's recoating run? I know that's tough.
It's about $1.20 a square foot.
$1.20 a square foot, about every 5 to 7 years.
About 5 to 7 years.
Okay, and that's if you go with the 5-year, 2.5 gallons per 100 square foot, but you can go to a 10-year.
A 10-year system, which is 3.75 gallons per 100 square feet, you're going to get the longevity out of it. When you look at cost-wise, it makes sense.
And that 100 square feet is important to understand. That's roofing square
roofing
feet,
square
not,
feet, I'm sorry.
Not living square feet. Yes. If you have a 2,500 square foot house, you probably have 3,000 square feet of roofing
exactly.
On the pitch. And by the time, if you've got patio, and a lot of times people think square foot and they're not calculating in the garage. So
right. Living square footage does not incorporate patios, garage,
back of
alcoves, parapets, yes.
When so, calculating roof, they go off squares, 10
yes.
by 10 foot measurements.
10 foot by 10 foot is one roofing square.
And as a homeowner, I'm sorry, you can kind of self-inspect your foam roof. If you start to see yellow or orange colored and it's not white anymore, you probably better take a look at recoating it.
Very good.